Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we'll tell you which cities have the most fake hotel reviews. And remember last December when a man was arrested for using a cell phone in the hotel lobby while black at the DoubleTree Hotel in Portland? And then was removed from the premises despite being able to identify himself as a guest? Well, we have an update on that situation coming up next.
At 3:20, we're going to have a little fun while making you a smarter traveler. Ever buy a can of paint in a store? Well, pretty simple process, but what if paint was sold by airlines? How would that work? Mark and I have the latest take on an old story that will make you laugh and maybe cry if you fly a lot.
More and more people are abandoning hotels and renting a home to stay in while on vacation. Some issues, though, have sprung up along the way. Who better than Chris Elliott to talk about renting a vacation home at 3:35?
Here with the Travel Guys, we love to introduce you to a friendly character or two here along the way. Today, we reconnect you with Meredith J. Eberhart. We know him by his nickname, Nimble Will Nomad. He'll be along at 3:50.
Thank you for joining us. In the next 56 minutes, we'll be helping to make you just a little smarter next time you hit the road. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Sunday afternoon to you. It's Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Another fabulous weekend ahead of us here. Mark, good to see you. What's going on?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, as I speak right now,
yes.
I mean, it may seem like I'm talking to you live on the radio.
It looks like you're talking to me live on the radio. I'm looking right at you.
To people who are listening to this, it'll seem like they're hearing us live on the radio, except a little secret. We actually recorded this show on Saturday because right now I am in an airplane making my way across the country to Atlanta, where I'm taking a bunch of Sports Leisure travelers. We are going on a trip to learn about the life and times of Jimmy Carter.
Awesome.
So we are going to his presidential library in Atlanta tomorrow, and then going to check out the town of Plains in Americus, which is the big town, which is right next to Plains, and some of the other things, sites around there. Roosevelt's little White House was down in that neck of the woods. So I don't often travel to that part of the country because I have people in my company who are from that neck of the woods, and they do it way better than me. But I've always, you know, that they say about Jimmy Carter, you know, he wasn't the greatest president we ever had. And I'm sure there's probably some fairly common agreement on that. But he might be one of the best people that we've ever had. So can you imagine the guy was, when he fell and had 14 stitches in his forehead, and then 3 days later he's up in Tennessee with his wife, who's also in her 90s, he's 95, building houses for Habitat for Humanity, which is one of the places that we get to see when we're there. So it's probably just a one-time jaunt, but two dozen people and I are going to see Plains and learn about Jimmy Carter,
a really
good American.
So yesterday, which was Saturday when we taped this, puts us to today, and at this very moment today, not yesterday, but today, you are about where at 3:05, 3:10 here?
3:05. I'm in downtown Atlanta just getting ready to have dinner at Mary Mac's, which was Jimmy and his wife. It was their favorite place to have dinner in downtown Atlanta. So that's where we're going.
All right. Well, look, before you go to dinner, why don't we knock out the travel news?
All right. Let's do it.
All right. And with the latest travel news, here is Mark Hoffman right before dinner tomorrow, today,
have terribly confused.
I am confused.
Our audience, people are probably driving around now trying to figure out what day it is. Don't look at your phone while you're driving. From the headlines, here's where you'll find the most fake hotel reviews, says our good friend Chris Elliott on his website. He'll be joining us for the second half of the program. Chris says that more than one-third of online hotel reviews are fake. We've talked about this before, but I thought this was worth bringing up again. This comes from the fraud detection company FakeSpot. It shows that you're more likely to be fooled in some American cities than others. Quickly, the hotels with the most fake hotel cities with the most fake hotel reviews: Houston, Chicago, Miami, Dallas, Boston, Los Angeles, New York, and San Francisco. San Francisco, they say about 30% of the reviews Fake Spot says are not correct. Houston, it's almost 40%. The other cities fall in between. Remember, we talked about Honolulu and how many fake reviews they have on their websites over there, and it was running about 30, 40%. So what this tells me is if you are a person who depends solely on the reviews...
A lot of people do.
Online. I know this. I hear this from people all the time. Well, it had great reviews. And it's like, you know what? You might not have done your homework completely, because just when you look at reviews, look at more than just the first page and look to see, is there any commonality in the reviews? And the other thing is, when somebody writes a review and says, oh, the staff is wonderful, the food is great, the rooms are super clean, everything is just perfect here, you can kind of know that. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not much objective about that. So just be careful. Careful. Reviews are a good thing. They're a good way to spot problems at a hotel. As we've also talked about, they're a good way to spot problems that have been fixed, because something that was mentioned a lot by guests a year ago or 6 months ago and suddenly it's never mentioned anymore gives you a pretty good idea that the hotel must have taken care of that problem.
Do you think there's anything wrong with bringing up to a hotel a review of a particular problem that they had and ask them straight up, has this been resolved?
Absolutely not. That would be a great use of reviews, is to ask them, is to say, you know, I see here there was some problems with the breakfast area. You were having maybe some renovations or something, and there were a lot of complaints about...
Oh, but that was a fake review.
Yeah, or that gives the person the opportunity to say, oh, yes, you know what? They finished all of that work 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Or to say to you at that moment in time, no, that's still going on. Or to say something that leads you to believe that, Tom, that's an excellent way of using the information in the reviews to feed that information back to the hotel or the restaurant or whomever else to find out if, you know, what their response is when you ask them.
Got it.
Excellent. Okay. Results from a poll on Travelers United. They do a poll every week. I've decided that I'm going to share the results every week with you.
Okay.
So last week it was, do you prefer a window or an aisle seat? Basic question. Prefer a window seat? It came out almost exactly what I would have thought it would. Window seat, 31%, 3 out of 10. Aisle seat, 60%, twice as many, 6 out of 10.
I would have guessed the other way.
It depends for me, 8%. So, you know, who you're traveling with, whether that person likes a certain type of seat, you might be willing to acquiesce to what their preference is. It doesn't matter to me. 1%. 1% of the people who responded to this poll don't care where they get. So do you know what that tells me? There's, out of every 100 people that get on an airplane, there's one person out of every 100 who's perfectly willing to sit in the middle seat and not complain about it. One. Out of 100.
There you go, folks.
Southwest Airlines has updated its Rapid Rewards program, and it's increasing the companion pass requirements. This is something that you get if you earn a certain number of miles throughout the year. You can earn a companion pass. These were offered when they were talking about expanding Hawaii a year and a half ago. I think some of our listeners, maybe even my co-host.
Yes, he had one for 1 year. Boy, what a deal that was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it allows you to take somebody along with you for just the taxes, which is about $11 or $12. Anyway, if you have one of those, just know that the requirements are going up a little bit next year. Would you subscribe to Delta for free drinks and first overhead bin selection? Delta Airlines has a new thing called SkyMiles Select, $59 a year, doesn't include any special seating. It gets you a limited edition bag tag and cabin one boarding, along with 8 drink coupons. So what it does is it throws you into a group that pretty much assures that you will get, there will be space for your stuff overhead, and you're going to pay them $59. They're going to give you 8 drink coupons, which
is a guaranteed space. Then.
It's sort of guaranteed space. But here's what I have to say about this: is if you're in group number 2 or group number 3, You and the other four people who haven't boarded the plane yet, who weren't in group number one, because eventually everybody's going to be in group number one, except for those four people who bought basic economy or something like that. So anyways, it's just, it's sometimes ridiculous when that first group, you know, they're charging people to be a part of a group that's exclusive, and the exclusive group becomes rather non-exclusive anymore. I think it's a cash grab.
Well, you know, I'm sometimes thinking what's going to happen when everybody has their early boarding pass with TSA.
If you buy Comfort Plus seating on Delta, don't fall for this $59 deal, because you're already in a numbered group that allows you to get on board and have room for your overhead. The only way you're going to have a problem with this is if you have an overhead that looks like a steamer trunk, or you're in one of those last couple groups to board, and then you're going to have some problems. And probably you probably got a ticket that was a little cheaper than most of the people on the plane, and that's one of the things you bought into. Also from our headlines today, the gentleman who was making cell phone calls in the DoubleTree Hotel lobby in Portland last December has decided to file suit against the hotel. What a surprise. He's seeking $10 million. This was the guy, Tom, if you remember, he was in the lobby. He was a guest in the hotel. He had been there in the, and I'm familiar with this hotel. I've used to use it for my groups before this incident occurred. And it's a pretty spacious lobby. And he was apparently made a series of phone calls. And the security guard, for whatever reason, decided that he didn't belong there. And he came up and accosted the guy. And the guy said, well, you know, I'm a guest in the hotel. And he showed him his key packet. And the guy, the security guard, said something to the effect of, well, you can tell that to the police because they'll be here in a few minutes. And when got there, they took the man to his room, made him gather his stuff, and took it and escorted him out of the hotel. And literally, I mean, the guy wasn't upset. He didn't scream and yell or anything like that. He seemed to take it kind of sort of in stride, if that was possible. But anyway, the interesting thing about this story is that the attorney the gentleman has hired, now I don't know, you know, this is, I'm just telling you this, I've got no way to back it up, but the attorney who he hired has found several other incidents of situations like this occurring in Hilton brand hotels and has the people who are willing to stand up and say. So this may be a problem in more than just one hotel, and it may be a problem in more than just Hilton hotels. You know, we have to learn to treat each other with respect, and that may be one situation. Who knows? But we'll find out soon. However, a telling answer from the hotel, an area general manager for the company that manages the DoubleTree, said that, quote, it is our intent to come to an amicable resolution with Mr. Massey. That's the gentleman who was thrown out the lobby without delay. So
I bet.
Yeah, I would think, because you don't want people like us talking about this for another year, year and a half.
Well, it's already cost them.
If you go to our website, you will see that the best credit cards for October 2019, there's a website that looks up credit cards every month and tells you what they think the best ones and the best offers are. One of the four that they have, three of them are Amex cards, and one is a Visa. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see all of that information. The lady who boarded the plane in, let's see, it was Chicago, without a boarding pass or identification. She got caught on the airplane. She has done this a whole bunch of times before. Some people listening to this probably seen this story on the news last week. It started in August of 2014. She was arrested in Los Angeles for trying to board a flight to San Jose without a ticket. The next day she was seen back at the airport again. This lady has done this numerous times. She has actually flown. She got to London. Last year, she traveled from Chicago to London without a boarding pass or a ticket, and somehow she got through security. She's this very nice-looking little old lady, and
for heaven's sake. How do you do that?
You never know. Bad news for those of you who go to theme parks, they are going to dynamic pricing. So if you want to go on
there.
A busy day, it's going to probably cost you 20 or 30% more than it would on non-busy days, which might cost you 20 or 30% less. Super Bowl Sunday is a good day to go to the theme park.
There you go.
Very quickly here, before we wrap up the news, we mentioned this last week, and we sold 9 of the 12 seats. There are still a very few left. If you would like to go with Sports Leisure Vacations next Saturday, October the 26th, up to Ironstone Vineyards for some wine tasting and to see a viewing of the classic silent movie Phantom of the Opera, starring Lon Chaney, The trip is regularly $129. You can go for $59 if you're one of the three people to grab the three seats that are left. Call the Sports Leisure office on Monday morning at 916-361-2051 or go to sportsleisure.com online and take a look. It's next Saturday, the 26th. It's an afternoon evening day trip up to Ironstone Vineyards, includes wine tasting and a chance to see a viewing of the silent version of Phantom of the Opera. Three people can go. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. You ever buy a can of paint in a store? Well, what if paint was sold by airlines? How would that sound? How would that work out for you?
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, we got something fun for you. Coming up next here on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget to follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And as we teased before the break, what would it be like to buy paint from a paint store? And what's it like if you were buying paint from an airline? Let's start with part one. Buying paint from a hardware store kind of goes like this. Here we go. Hi, good afternoon. How much you paint this paint store here?
We have regular quality for $12 a gallon and premium paint for $18. How many gallons would you like, sir?
5 gallons, please, of regular quality paints.
Great. That will be $60 plus tax. And by the way, for a purchase of more than 4 gallons, we'll deliver it to your home. Just fill out your address here and we'll have it to you by the end of the day.
Well, thanks. That's great. You know, I'm going to tell everyone I know about you guys, and I'm going to paint the outside of my house next fall, and I'll make sure that my contractor buys his paint right here. Okay, that was simple enough.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if you had to buy paint from an airline?
Could sound a little bit like this. Hi there, good afternoon. How much is your paint?
Well, sir, that all depends.
Depends on what?
Well, actually, a lot of things, sir.
Well, how about giving me an average price?
Oh, wow, that's too hard of a question, sir. The lowest price paint is $9 a gallon, but we have 150 different prices up to $200 a gallon.
Well, what's the difference in the paint?
Oh, sir, there isn't any difference. It's all the same paint.
Well, then I'd like some of that $9 paint.
Well, first I'll need to ask you a few questions. When do you intend to use it?
Well, I wanted to paint tomorrow, or maybe the day after.
Oh, sir. The paint for tomorrow is the $200 paint.
Well, wait a minute. What would I have to buy in order to get the $9 paint?
Well, that would be you'd have to paint in 3 weeks, sir, but you'd also have to agree to start painting before Friday of that week and continue painting until at least Sunday.
You got to be kidding.
Sir, we don't kid around here. Of course, I'll have to check to see if we have any of that paint available before I can sell it to you.
What do you mean check to see if you can sell it to me? You have shelves full of the stuff. I can see it from right here.
Sir, just because you can see it doesn't mean that we have it. It may be the same paint, but we only sell a certain number of gallons on any given weekend. Oh, and by the way, the price just went up to $12.
What? You mean the price went up while we were talking? Well, okay, in that case, I'll take your $12 paint.
Well, actually, the $12 variety is only available on our website, sir. You see, if you want to buy it here at the store, you'll be charged an additional $20 customer convenience fee.
Oh, good grief. So if I go home and get it off the website, it's only $12?
That's correct, sir. Plus, of course, a credit card usage fee of $6, and then there's the standard shipping and handling of $15.
What? So, in other words, buying online would cost me almost exactly the same as what I have to pay here in the store.
Oh, I suppose so. But if you buy it here, you get to use it immediately. Online purchases take 10 days to get to you, unless, of course, you pay the optional $25 Express My Paint fee.
You've got to be kidding.
Well, no, sir. But it's highly academic anyway, as right now the $12 paint is sold out online and in the store.
Well, of course. That's BS. I'm looking at shelves full of the stuff right now. I can see it from here.
But that doesn't mean it's available for sale. Remember, we only sell a certain number of introductory price cans on any given day. Oops, look at that. It just became available again at $17.50. Sir, I strongly recommend you purchase your paint as soon as possible, as it could go up again. How many gallons would you like?
Well, maybe 3 gallons. No, make it 4. I don't want to run out. I'm assume I can return anything I don't open.
Oh, certainly, sir. The $12 pain is non-refundable, but if you return it within 24 hours, you'll be entitled to a $5 credit towards the future purchase of another gallon of the same color at a same or higher price.
Well, that's crazy. In that case, I'll just give any unopened cans to my brother as he's planning to repaint his house soon.
Oh, sir, no, no. You cannot do that. Our terms and conditions. That's a little in-house joke. Prohibit paint transfer. It's strictly for the use of the original purchaser.
But wait a minute. I hadn't spotted that paint sale there. $9.99 a can. Sign right over there. That sounds great. That sounds like a better deal.
Yes, sir, but that's from our low-cost paint division. The asterisk denotes that the cans are actually half gallons, and the price is based on a minimum purchase of two. There's also an additional environmental fee of $5 a can, a non-refundable can deposit of $3.50, a paint facility charge of $5, and if you want more than one color, the second has a $25 surcharge, and the third is $50 extra.
You know, this is truly utterly ridiculous. To heck with you guys. I'll buy what I need somewhere else.
Well, sir, you may be able to buy paint for some rooms from another store, but you won't be able to find paint for your connecting hall and stairway anywhere but here. I should also point out that if you want unidirectional paint, it is priced at $2.49 a gallon.
I thought your most expensive paint was only $199.
Oh, sir, that's only if you paint nonstop all the way around the room and back to the point at which you started. You see, stairways and hallways are considered one-way exceptions to the rule.
So, if I buy the $199 paint and use it in my hallway, what are you going to do about it? Send some goons to paint over it?
Wow, I believe you're getting it now, sir. But no, please, that would be plain silly. We'll simply charge you a direction adjustment fee.
And that's what it would be like if you had to buy paint from an airlines. Kind of scary, isn't it? Especially for those that fly a lot.
I think so. Anyways, a little fun. That's an old story. You can find it online just by saying if paint was sold like plane tickets. All right, let's see here. Before we wrap up this part of and we go to the break, I do have one little smarter traveler tip here, Tom, for our listeners. If you are a person who likes to cruise and you say, well, the shore excursions at the cruise line sell are kind of expensive if I buy them, I'll go online. We've already talked about some of the dangers of this, lack of insurance, things like that. Ship doesn't know where you are. But here's another thing someone mentioned last week in an article. You buy your cruise excursions independently online. What if your cruise ship doesn't go to those ports of call? If your things are non-refundable, you're not going to be there. So it's another reason to be careful, especially if you're traveling in hurricane season. The itineraries of cruise ships for the last few months have been just spread all over the place with ships that couldn't get where they were going.
All right. Coming up after the news, we're going to be joined by Chris Elliott, going to talk vacation rentals. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Whether your travel is just around the block or around the world, Sports Leisure Vacations and the Travel Guys are here to take you there. Mark and Tom with you. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Here today to make you a smarter traveler with the help of Mr. Chris Elliott. Chris, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
It's good to be with you.
It's our favorite travel advocate who heads around the country with, we were just talking about before we started the interview about the joy of traveling around the country with three teenagers. You know, someday when you get to Northern California, Chris, we're going to have all you guys drop in and we'll ask the kids what it's like to travel with dad all the time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, just hang on.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to tell you, and I will speak for them. You can't do that.
For anybody out there who's listening and they're thinking, you know, keeping three teenagers on track when you're at home, when you have a home base all the time, but somebody who's roaming around the country and, you know, changing venues on a regular basis must be a lot of fun. It must be a challenge from time to time. Chris, you are someone who uses vacation rentals a lot. I noticed from reading a lot of the things that you write. You know them, you're familiar with them. Recently, you wrote about cleaning fees, which ridiculous fees have come to vacation rentals too. So I wanted to ask you, as a rookie of on vacation rentals, to give me some tips if I were to wade into that side of things. But first, I want to ask you about these cleaning fees. And this obviously has become a real point of contention, not only on your website, but some others. People are renting vacation homes and finding out that, and much like hotels, the cleaning fees are being thrown on them at the last minute or are being arbitrarily decided as to, you know, when somebody leaves, as to what's a $50 cleanup and what's a $250 cleanup. Can you help us with this?
Absolutely, I can. And first, let me just say that I do travel. It's true. I do travel with three teenagers. I have one who's almost 13. She's a girl, and I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they're usually very well behaved. I would not necessarily recommend traveling with three teenagers if it's just you. But if you have to, you can borrow mine anytime. They're very well behaved. So the truth is, it's actually even worse than you stated. I actually live in vacation rentals. So right now I am in a VRBO rental. Last month in Provo, Utah, I was in an Airbnb. So we get to see everything, and I mean everything. And it was pretty remarkable the way that these homeowners have tried to monetize their homes as vacation rentals. You mentioned the cleaning fees. It's even worse than the story. I wrote a story for the Washington Post back in January, and I was talking about these fees. It's gotten even worse since then. Cleaning fees are extremely controversial, because there's really no standard. You know, if I said, you know, I'm going to charge you a $250 cleaning fee, you wouldn't know if I actually paid $250 or not. But what's gotten even worse now is that you have a cleaning fee, and then you have a second. I haven't reported this yet, so you're getting it here first. There's a checkout cleaning fee, so a second cleaning fee that they charge you because, you know, they have to clean the house twice, before you arrive and then after. But if you think about it, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because you're paying for two cleanups, and the person who comes after you is paying for two cleanups. So they're essentially pocketing one of those fees, and it's pure profit. So that's why it's so controversial.
Wow. Wow. So you're paying, they're cleaning it after you leave, then they're charging the next guy to clean it before he or she checks in.
But wait.
In all likelihood, there's only one cleaning going on there.
Right. That's,
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, car rental companies have done something similar where you're kind of subsidizing the cost of gas. You're paying for a refueling fee, you know, and then you're filling the tank, but then you're basically subsidizing the cost of gas for the car rental company. It's a little bit similar to that. And it's amazing that people haven't risen up and taken up arms and said, this is ridiculous. But the truth is, like, who in the world do you know who lives in a vacation rental? Most people will rent one vacation rental a year. They are not very savvy about fees. And they see the fee, they go, eh, whatever, it's my vacation, and they pay it. Uh-huh. You got to read these fees very carefully before you book, because, and well, you know, and here's another thing that both Airbnb and VRBO start doing is they will, you'll see a charge for, first you'll see a charge for a kind of a room rate per night. Mm-hmm. Then they will subtotal it, and they will give you a room rate minus the deposit. And then once you click on the rate and start booking it, then they'll add the deposit. So you're really – the number you're really interested in is how much is this going to cost me right now. You don't get to that until the very end. That's just bad transparency.
So it's the same thing that we're seeing with hotels and the like, where the resort fee shows up on the last screen.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a little different. But, you know, you talk to vacation rental owners and they'll tell you, yeah, you know, Airbnb has allowed us to create all these new fees. We can create random fees and just start charging them. And people are not saying anything because they don't rent. I mean, there aren't really frequent vacation rental stayers the same way there are frequent flyers or frequent hotel guests. So you don't have an organized lobby saying, hey, we're not going to put up with this. So as a result, you see a lot of these junk fees. And make no mistake, these are junk fees.
Well, let me jump in real quick. Chris, you say your long-term stay in a vacation rentals. Are there any kind of rules as to how long they can allow someone to, you know, stay in one of these rentals without it becoming like an apartment rental? You know, because I know people that have rentals sometimes kind of break those rules. They're designed to be long-term, and then they're renting them out as holiday vacation stays. How does that work?
Yeah, it's usually the other way around. It's a lot of communities have laws against the short-term rentals because they don't want to have their city overrun with short-term rentals. So they say anything, you know, you can't rent a house or an apartment out for anything less than 30 days. So if you're renting for a long period of time, which I do, I rent for 30 days or more, you actually have more inventory available to you. And that means that, you know, a community that maybe Santa Barbara is a really good example where there are laws in Santa Barbara that say you can't rent for less than 30 days. So if you want to go to Santa Barbara, you have to rent for 30 days. That means that Santa Barbara is an option for me. As a matter of fact, it's not an option because the rentals in Santa Barbara are ridiculously priced. And we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars for a rental. But, you know, practically speaking, if that's something that you wanted, you could have that. West Hollywood, too. I'm renting a place in West Hollywood right now, and they apparently have an ordinance there, too, where you can't rent for less than 30 days. So you can rent if you're going for more than 30 days.
We're talking with Chris Elliott, a travel advocate. You can find more about what Chris does at elliott.org, ELLIOTT, two L's and two T's, .org. If you have an issue with something with travel that didn't go quite right, or you think somebody has or is in the process of cheating you out of something, it's a great place not only to go to get help, but also to go to look for resources. If you want to help yourself, which is basically one of the themes of Chris's whole website, is to empower you, to give you the tools, the people to write to, some instructions and things that will help you be able to learn to advocate for yourself. We're talking about vacation rentals here. Chris, as a total rookie vacation renter, if I were to wade into that market, let's pretend that I'm headed off on a vacation for a week or two, and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe a home would be better than a hotel. Where would you tell me to start?
You know, a lot of times rookies will just look at their first rate that they see on a website and think, hey, you know, this is a pretty good deal. It's less than a hotel. I'll take it. And they don't click all the way through. You have to really click all the way through to see what the final rate is going to be, including all the fees that you have to pay and taxes, everything else. Taxes can be really, really ridiculous. Because, you know, they're charging you whatever the lodging tax is, and that can be, you know, we know what it's like for hotel stays, but imagine if you're staying for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it can really add up. So I think my first thing would be to click all the way through. Don't make a decision based on the first screen that you see. The other thing is to be very mindful of the fees. We were talking about fees just a minute ago. And the thing is the fees are getting very creative and kind of amorphous, which is to say, you don't really know what they mean. I've seen destination fees. What the heck is a destination fee? No one really knows, but it's a fee. Early check-in fees, late checkout fees, cleaning fees, checkout cleaning fees. All this stuff is, you know, you might see it when you're renting a home. You might not question it, but my advice would be to question it. And if you see it and if it looks really suspicious, you know, go to a different place as well. The other thing that people don't do is they don't look at the reviews or the amenities. Make sure that you've got the basic amenities, like a dishwasher. A lot of times places, older homes will not have a dishwasher, so make sure they've got that. And make sure it's got reviews too. Some of the biggest mistakes that I've made renting homes is renting a place that doesn't have any reviews,
is usually a reason for it. A lot of the hosts like to jump from platform to platform. So when they get bad reviews, they'll just jump to the next platform to avoid all the bad reviews and to maybe, you know, pick up a couple more clients.
Hmm. That's kind of something I hadn't thought about. Chris, what if I'm getting ready to rent a vacation rental? It's a week. I get in contact with the owner. The owner says, well, gee, you know, this is $1,500 for a week, but you could send me a check, you know, for $1,200 and we just call it even. Is there a negotiation that takes place? Is that a danger, trying to negotiate or pay directly to an owner as opposed to going through the system? I know some people who have say, well, that saves them money, but I suspect it kind of leaves them open in some way.
Oh, it absolutely does. That's called going off the platform, and there are a lot of hosts that will tell you to do that because it saves them money. But it would also save you some money. There's a drawback to that. You might save money, but you might also have, if you have any kind of a dispute, you lose the ability to do a credit card chargeback or to get that platform involved in resolving your dispute. So my recommendation would be to, stick with the Airbnbs and the VRBOs of the world, because you have the ability to get that third party involved in case something does go wrong.
Chris Elliott talking about vacation rentals. Chris, some really good tips there. You can go to Elliott.org, and if you type into the search bar vacation rentals, you will find all kinds of articles and things that Chris has done in the past and even recently that have to do with vacation rentals that will help you a lot if you're a rookie like me, or even if you're an experienced vacation rental type person or an Airbnb person. I'm certain that you will find some tips there. There is a particularly helpful section about frequently asked questions about vacation rentals, Elliott.org. Chris, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Next up on the Travel Guys, be inspired by an original, Meredith J. Eberhardt, known as Nimble Will Nomad. This guy has walked and walked and walked. Find out why and where next on the Travel Guys. Tom here, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, who's our guest?
Nimble Will the Nomad. We tracked him down. He's living in Alabama now, up on top of a mountain, and not walking quite as much as he used to. We're going to talk to him about some of his adventures. Will is on the phone with us. Will, how is it working out, living up on top of the mountain?
Yeah, and I didn't know if that was going to work or not, but there's really great folks around here. We got some locals that come up almost every day, and they check on me, and another fellow's taking on the responsibility as assistant caretaker up here. The name's Joe, and he lives close by, and he brings me lunch and checks on me and helps out up here. So it's been a good experience for me, a really good experience.
How about that, Mark? Will's got people bringing him his lunch. How about you?
I'm thinking that's a pretty good idea, pretty good arrangement he's got there. Will, where is Flag Mountain in Alabama? North, south, east, west?
If you're familiar with Birmingham and Montgomery, it's not quite, but about halfway between Birmingham and Montgomery. If you look on any of the maps that would show your public lands, like your national forest, you'll see the Talladega National Forest outlined on there, and we're just at the south end of that. This is the beginning of the Appalachian Mountain Range. Flag is the first mountain, or the southernmost mountain, over 1,000 feet, and we just symbolically designated Flag as the beginning of the Appalachian Mountain Range. We're going to turn this into the hiking hub of the South is what we're going to do with it.
So, Will, you're down there in Alabama. We're going to have a group in, I'm coming through Anniston and spending the night in Huntsville in a couple weeks. We're doing a trip back to see some of President Carter's hauntings over there in Plains and Americus and stuff like that. So we're going to fly home out of Huntsville. So do you still have any journeys that you want to take that you haven't taken yet?
Folks ask me, you know, that same question, and I just tell them I've pretty much been there and back. But I don't know. I'm still in good health. The good Lord bless me. I'm still strong, my knees, my back. I can't carry a heavy pack anymore, but I can do the miles. So I don't know. I've got this obligation here that's going to go on probably. Good Lord keeps me around. I'll be 81 the end of this month. if I'm around a while, I'll probably be here for another year and a half or so, but never know. I could always put a pack on. I'd love to go again, just see how it works out. But thanks for asking.
How many miles do you figure? Have you kept track at all of how many miles that you've walked, or have you been in all of the lower 48 states?
Yeah, pretty much all of them, I guess. That's a question I get pretty much all the time. That the first one, of course, is aren't you afraid of the bears and the snakes? That's the first question you get, but and that's the second one. I've got a couple of friends. One was a mail carrier, and we just sat down one day and calculated after he retired. He'd never even thought about keeping track of it, but we figured over his 25-year career with the Postal Service, and he walked house to house he just carried a bag and delivered mail in this little village, and we calculated he'd done well over 50,000 miles. And I've got another dear friend that has tracked his mileage and kept account of it, and he is just a couple of months younger than me, and he just completed 50,000 miles that he's kept track of. But I don't know. I've been a fair distance.
Will, what's the best part of walking? What's the best part about walking as a mode of travel? What's the best thing about it?
You can look at that, I guess, from a lot of different ways. But to me, it gives me an opportunity to reflect internally and to enjoy and observe the beauty of nature externally. It slows you down and it gets you into a speed that I think all of us would much prefer compared to the rigors of our daily activities of having to go so fast in so many different places and have such a schedule. You tend to come down off all of that, and you can relate better to who you are and what you are and what life's all about. You can get into the philosophical aspects of this real quick, and if you got another hour or two, we can really delve into that. I think that kind of sums it up. I enjoy the physical challenge. I've always been competitive. The teamwork thing was always fun, like basketball and baseball and those sort of things. But the kind of sports like running and other things where it's a personal thing and you're into it as an individual challenges you physically and mentally. You can't get any better than putting a pack on and going down the trail.
You must have met some pretty, I'm sure if I asked you interesting people, there must be a ton of them. But is there anybody who really sticks out? Anybody who as you were walking along the road and you met somebody that really influenced you or really changed the way that you looked at things? Anybody really stand out?
Oh, and he's passed away now. Dear old fella. If you look at my first book, 10 Million Steps, he taught himself English. He was a Frenchman. He lived for years and years up in Quebec. And he guided on bear, and he also guided people that were salmon fishing. And the old fellow would always, when I'd see him, he'd have on a shirt and a jacket and a tie. And it always seemed funny to me that he'd be out in the woods or in a boat with a shirt and a tie on. And I just learned so much from him. He says, well, this is my office, just like you professionals have your offices. And just a very inspiring, wonderful old fellow. Missing.
That's pretty cool.
For those that may be just joining us, we've got Nimble Will, who we spoke with, a couple of years ago, I think, Will, when you were just settling into the Flag Mountain project that you're into. For those that didn't get a chance to hear that, why don't you take a minute and tell folks how you first got into walking long distance?
Oh, sure. I'm an outdoors person. I have been all my life. Folks ask me where I'm from. I tell them I'm from the Ozarks up in Missouri. And I said, you've read about Huck Finn. I said, you're looking at him. I'm a Huck Finn. School was out usually the Friday before Memorial Day. And my shoes would come off then, the straw hat and the fishing pole on my shoulder then. And it stayed that way until usually the first Monday after Labor Day, unless Mom made me put my shoes on for Sunday school or church. So I've always been an outdoors person, and when I had an opportunity, I was cooped up in examination rooms for 30 years with no windows as a professional, and when I had a chance to get out and really finally go, I just never looked back. I put a pack on and pretty much been hiking steady the last 20 years or more, and I just love it. It's been a complete transition in my life, and I've just been blessed for it with good health and good stamina and pretty good attitude, I guess. It's all come from that, and I'm very thankful for it.
You know, Nimble Will, certainly a guy that I admire. I would love to be able to have the courage to just throw on a backpack and head out on the road. It's an amazing story, an amazing guy.
I love just talking to people like him because it gives you a little bit of a different perspective on life from time to time.
Yes.
Nimble Will, thanks for joining us, buddy. Next week on The Travel Guys, Gwen Duncan, Clayton Whitehead in studio. We're going to have a travel roundtable. We will take your questions by phone on a variety of topics and also dip into our mailbag. In the meantime, Tom, dance like nobody's watching.
Thank you. Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time.